What's up, y'all? It's Steve Ewing here, and I'm hanging out on the Blues Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back to the Blues Hockey Podcast. Your host, Jason, along with Chris.
Yo.
All right. So Blues finally got their season started. We're a little behind, obviously. We had a lot of stuff going on. So me and Chris have had a lot of, like, I say life events going on in the last, like, week and a half.
You can say that.
So obviously mine, I guess, can consider minors, obviously.
I wouldn't call them minor.
Minor, but it's, you know, compared to, I think, yours. So yeah, obviously we lost one of our dogs unexpectedly about 6 weeks ago. So it's of course we had to get another one. So we got another dog this week, and so another one joined the family. So we between that and just like work, so it's been fun stuff.
Have you figured out what kind of dog it is?
It is a terrier something, and it's all right.
Cool.
It's a cute dog. It's about it. So, but yeah, no, but the dog's actually really good. It's just obviously just like a baby. It gets up numerous times during the night.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah. So
between the two, it's been go to bed at 9:30. Oh, you're up at midnight and 2:30 and 5, and at 5 o'clock you're up and wanting to do stuff. So yeah, so that's been fun. So like yeah, we had that, but we also had our big thing at Rockstar Taco at the Gaslight. We had fun there. So thanks to everybody who came out to that. Thanks for Will for hosting us and providing some awesome food and stuff. So once again, check out the Gaslight at 4916 Shaw Avenue. So they're having their big, big opening in a couple weeks here, in which we'll check out our socials for all that info. And Chris, his big news is Chris finally only has one house now.
It's true. It is true.
Chris was buying all the houses out in the St. Charles O'Fallon area. So
yeah, I had a bunch of them under contract for a while, but thankfully I'm down to one and I close Thursday. And then the fun starts of moving all my crap into it.
Yeah. But it's always fun stuff to, you know, get your
place
and stuff and make it the way you want. So it'll be good stuff. So yeah, a couple of big stuff here, but of course the main thing is the Blues season has started and start off with a bang, to say the least. Phrasing on top of that.
Yes. But
in the Blues unprecedented start, which let's be honest, we didn't really see coming because they're facing some pretty good teams to start.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get started. All the games first, a little bit of Blues news, some downer. We had like really great news and then a downer today. And then some big news from the NHL concerning the Chicago Blackhawks and the cover-up of sexual abuse back in 2010. So it seems like there's more and more stuff keeps coming out. And actually, one of the players kind of – the report that was out there, the player kind of got outed. And people were able to figure out who it was. So he decided to come out.
Okay.
Kyle Beach, which that's a name I recognize. I remember from, you know, facing him.
I kind of remember it.
Yeah. So he was kind of he was definitely a guy who just like, I remember Kevin, maybe a cup of coffee with the Blackhawks and maybe a couple of teams around the league, but
sure.
Playing overseas right now in a German league. So obviously he was, not outed. I don't think obviously on purpose by this consulting firm, but you know, everybody was able to easily figure it out what happened. So anyway, we'll get into the long details of that, but let's focus on the Blues first. So not much Blues news per se, just obviously besides the Blues games. So pretty much we're just going Blues games, and the news is after all the games. So we'll try to do all the positive stuff and the negative at the Blues at the very end, unfortunately. Blues start off on the road. Three games on the road before they have come home to the big home opener. So they start off against two out of three games we figured are going to be pretty difficult games.
Yes.
Colorado and Vegas. So obviously on the road. You're opening in Colorado. So the Blues start off in Colorado and, let's be honest, you didn't think this would be a tough game no matter what, but it kind of helped that Gabriel Landeskog decided to be an idiot and you know, the hit that he put on Kirby Doc basically got him suspended for a couple games.
Yep.
And then on top of that, Nathan MacKinnon was positive for COVID. He was asymptomatic, nothing, you know, no symptoms or anything, which obviously the Blues found out a little bit more about that stuff coming up. So Blues are basically Colorado's out the two of their top players, to say the least. So,
oh yeah.
So that kind of obviously puts a little damper on things.
I mean, but look, they're still a dangerous team. You're still a team that's got Rantanen and, you know, Cale Makar and things like that. But like you said, two huge weapons, one are being arguably the best player in the league. So it's one of those games that is, as we said between you and I, and I know Kerber said it, and I know that they said it on the broadcast, is, you know, you have to play the games that are given you. And when you play a team like this, who's a very good team without all of their weapons, those are points that are there for the taking, and you have to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and the Blues are able to do that, and let's be honest, played pretty well the whole way through this game, and Jordan Binnington looking like Jordan Binnington. Obviously, the playoff stats do not show really how well he played
against
Colorado last year. It wasn't for him, those games, mind you, they weren't great scores, but they would have been a lot worse without Jordan Binnington.
For sure.
But to say the least, so Jordan Benson, the save on Mikko Rantanen when he went on the power play, when he went to his right to left and got it with his glove, Rantanen was stunned that he got there. So it was nice to see Binnington rounding back in the farm. The Blues take this game 5-3. So we'll go over the scoring real quick. The Blues start off really well. And I'll be honest, I unfortunately missed the beginning of this game. Because did not schedule my family activities properly around the Blues like I normally do. So I was at Grant's Farm for listening to the first two periods of this. So Justin Falk gets a goal 4 minutes in from Kyrou and Bozak. So nice to see Justin Falk continuing to play well after obviously the first season we talked about how shaky he was and maybe just not fitting into the role that was there for him, but kind of becoming the – not the guy, because that's Colton Parayko, I think, is what they're trying for. If you or might, what do you think? I think Armstrong wants Parayko to be kind of like the quote unquote Pietrangelo replacement, and Falk is kind of able to slide in kind of behind him to just play his game.
You know, honestly, I think that they're both going to be Petro in a way. I think that you look at a player like Colton Parayko, and he's got maybe a little more offensive talent to his game at times. But I'm telling you, I watched Justin Falk last season and the first few games of this season. And I'm not saying that he is apples to apples, the same player on par with Alex Pietrangelo. But boy, he's there. Like, this is the player that we thought we were getting from Carolina. And you just kind of wonder if maybe we had two guys on the team at the same time who had that same role. And And Falk didn't know how to adjust in that first season, because he sure does seem to have the knack of stepping in offensively at the right time and holding the point and quarterbacking a power play, just like Petro did. And you know what? Whoever they decide is going to be the quote-unquote next Pietrangelo, be it Justin Falk or Colton Parayko, I'm happy with how both are playing right now.
Yeah, because I think it seems like Falk has kind of gotten to the more offensive. I mean, I'm not saying his defense is bad, but the more offensive side of what Pietrangelo did.
Yes.
And Parayko has been focusing more on the defensive side. So it's kind of like Parayko and Scandella are like the quote-unquote shutdown pair. Like, they're the type guys that go against the top guys, help shut them down. Falk and Kruger there, and while they're still pretty good on defense, they have a little bit more ability to rush the puck a little bit better and to better breakout defensemen compared to, you know, definitely better than Scandella, but Parayko as well. So kind of nice to have those options back there and have the defense fully healthy this year. So Falk gets his first, obviously, the first Blues goal of the year. Braden Shen gets his first of the year next from Kairu and Bushnevitz in the second and period at about the 8.5 minute mark. So I'll be honest, most of these we're just going to go through fast in the early part games, and we'll talk a little bit more as we get closer to the games that just kind of happened. So Perron, the third period is where it gets kind of crazy. So Perron obviously gets the next goal in the third, in the second period, make it 3-0. The Blues look great, and you're kind of like, wow, it's nice to watch a game and not kind of like be puckered up the whole time,
mm-hmm.
having a 1 or 2 goal lead. Unfortunately, off a little rush, Barakowski gets his first from Kadri and Girard. Speaking of Kadri, which I think was really interesting, his first shift, and obviously Braden Shen's first shift, Shen jumped on the ice and went immediately after Kadri. And,
as you should.
And Kadri knew it was coming. He dropped his gloves. They had a nice little fight. Falk, I mean, there's a really great picture, if you look on the Blues website, of the fight going on, and the way the camera way this photo shot, Justin Falk is in the background, perfectly standing up, like watching the fight. So it's really kind of a cool picture to see, like, you know, obviously Shen being a really good teammate. And we talked about this before. If it wasn't Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Shen probably would have been the captain of this team, more than likely.
I would think.
Yep. And it was pretty great. So 3-1 going into the third. And this is where all hell kind of breaks loose. So Perron gets his second for Barbashev on the power play. Everything's looking great about the 7-minute mark. And the Blues playing really well the whole way. 5-on-5, they pretty much kept Colorado at bay. I mean, there's that one rush of Barakowski score. It's kind of a broken play. But they pull the goalie with about 4 or 5 minutes left. And that's when things kind of got crazy. So Tyson Jost gets a goal, making it 4-2 at the 14:30 mark. And then about the 16:18 mark, JT Compher gets his first. And you're like, oh, crap. And about a minute after that, we thought it was a tie game.
Yes, we did.
Because Tyson Jost gets another goal. He was in the crease, and it was called the goal. Luckily, there's a very good camera angle that I believe this game was on TNT, correct? Was this on Bally's or TNT?
This was Bally's.
This was Bally's. So Bally's had the really good camera angle from the other side, which I think, because Pang was doing this one. And you couldn't see it. And it's both, Ken Wilson there. Why am I drawing a blank anyway? It's late for us. Sorry. But but Pang, you know, obviously thought it might be a kicking motion. John Kelly was pretty sure it was a goal. And luckily the other shot saw an obvious kicking motion because the Blues immediately started yelling at the ref that it was kicked in and it was waved off. Luckily, plays restarted and a couple of close chances, but Ryan O'Reilly gets the empty net goal from Scandella at the 1940 mark. And the Blues take the opening game on the road 5-3. So pretty good win to start the season, I think.
Look, I'd say any win against Colorado is a good win. What I liked about this game and what has held through these first five games that we're going to talk about is the pace of play, which the St. Louis Blues played with. It was not a slow them down, grind out a win type of game. Like, they pushed the tempo, and they have pushed the tempo in all five of these games, which is very un-St. Louis Blues hockey. They are very much a slow it down, beat you into the ground and score a goal when it presents itself type of team historically. But so far this year, and again, we're only five games in, this team runs, and this team runs fast. And they're working off of turnovers. They're capitalizing off of mistakes the opponents make, and they're deep. They're really, really deep. You can't just focus on one line or one guy. And that's good hockey.
And that's evidence like every game. And that's what we're going to you'll see every game. So I think the first game was definitely, you know, I think Perron had 2 goals, obviously, but I think every line kind of rolled really, really well. Even the fourth line, we talk about Jake Neighbors played really, really well his first NHL game. So this game, the only change that was made is Clem Costin comes in for James Neal, which was an interesting move, but maybe just want a little bit more speed on facing the Coyotes. St. Louis and Clayton Keller starts off this second on the power play about the 5-minute mark, 1-0. Then quickly after that, a 2-on-1, a nice pass by Kyrou to Pavel Buchnevich, who gets his first of the year. So he gets a goal. So what is this kind of, what is this play called? So obviously it's called a Gordie Howe hat trick when you have a assist, a goal, and a fight. So you have, if you have a goal and a headbutt in a game misconduct, what are we going to call that? Is that called the Buchnevich?
Or the Dusty Rhodes, one of the two. Like it's something pro wrestling style, because you know you can't really use your head in a weapon type manner in many sports, especially not hockey.
So the play that happened early in this first play happened in the first is Andrew Ladd had a hit that kind of upended Pavel Buchnevich, and he wasn't really happy about it. So the next period comes up and Buchnevich kind of goes after Lawson Kraus, who is in the middle of like just after the, you know, this happened. And so Kraus is kind of getting into Buchnevich's face, and Buchnevich was kind of tied up with his hands at the time. So instead of kind of like waiting till he got a chance to like maybe push him back or do something, he decides to do kind of a jumping headbutt into Kraus's face to give him definitely a cut on his nose.
Yep.
And the ref, and that's how you can't do that, kids. Just to let you know, that is definitely illegal. And Buchnevich is kicked out of the game, gets a 5-minute major, game misconduct, and immediately Arizona goes on a power play. So Costin is in serving this, and just as the penalty expires, Lawson Kraus gets the goal. So he basically, you know, burns the Blues for even drawing the penalty. But obviously that kind of spurned the Blues into this crazy run. So this game is also one of the, all these games are also very late games too.
Yes.
So we had a lot of late games here. So here's the quick, how this happened in the next four-ish minutes. You have Justin Falk with his second goal from Kyrou and Bozak. Kyrou unassisted after a very bad pass by one of the Arizona defensemen, basically to write on this tape, and old friend Carter Hutton. Oh man. Ouch. Did not look great this game. Mm-mm. So quickly after that, Klim Kostin gets his first of the year from Robert Thomas, a nice pay behind the net to Kostin, and Justin Falk with the assist. Klim Kostin, another one off another great play by Jake Neighbors behind the net, a steal and gets it right from the Kostin, who buries it. Bortuzzo also gets the secondary assist there. And then Jordan Kyrou on a highlight reel goal, to say the least, his second of the game from O'Reilly and Wallman. He basically toe dragged and deked three Coyotes.
Yes.
And then beat Carter Hutton, and not great. So basically from the time period of the 11-minute mark, 11:10 to 16:17, so about 5 minutes, the Blues score five goals. So the blow, the wide open to the 6-2 lead, kind of what they've had in the past. They did the same thing again. They took their, you know, obviously 6-2 is, you know, pretty good score. So they took their foot off the pedal. Kristen Fisher with a goal. Boyd gets another goal. But Barbashev comes in and gets a goal, make it 7-4. And the good guys win another one. So, and also, Binnington didn't need to be fantastic this game, but he was solid at least.
He did what he was asked to do.
And then this game where he was great. So, the Blues have not been scoring the first goal. All this whole road trip did not score the first. The first game they scored the first goal. Then the next two they didn't. So William Karlsson gets his first from Riley Smith and Martinez. And this is the TNT night. So this is the first kind of Blues exposure on TNT. So against the Vegas Golden Knights. And before we get into the game a little bit, how great is the TNT broadcast?
It's really good. It's really, really good. They put together a phenomenal group to be the desk panel between periods. And it's very, very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, one of the notes I have down here is that I saw online a lot of people were mad because every time Gretzky tried to give us the Blues props, he kept getting cut off by Liam McHugh to go to like the next subject. So everybody was like, don't let him talk about the Blues. Of course, talk about Vegas all you want.
You know what? I didn't get that vibe.
I didn't either. That at all. But like, I saw a couple people say that online, and it was more than one person saying it. Well, so that's why I was like, I think that's just the, like, sometimes fans were looking for like that one thing for us to get
upset. You're never happy. You know? Yeah, local fans are never happy with national coverage because national coverage has to be balanced. They can't be like Bally's where you've got Federko and whoever else.
And Dan McLaughlin this year.
Yeah, who just talk about the Blues for 20 minutes. they've got to give equal time to both sides. They've got to talk about other games around the league. So of course, when that happens, oh, well, they just don't want, they don't like the Blues. No, man, it's a national coverage game. I thought, if anything, I was surprised how much pro Blues they were. Because keep in mind, from the time they've come into the league, Vegas has been the darling of the NHL because of how good they started. Uh-huh. And I really thought that after that first period, even though St. Louis pushed the tempo, they were down on the scoreboard, that it was going to be, oh, Vegas, Vegas this, Vegas that. And Gretzky was the first one to come out and say, you know, they're not winning the game, but they're beating Vegas all over the ice. And, you know, everyone seemed to agree. So I thought that it was a very surprisingly pro-St. Louis discussion that happened on the TNT broadcast.
Yeah, and obviously Gretzky moved back to St. Louis. So he lives in, like, actually not just part-time resides. He's fully, yeah, like, lives in St. Louis now. So it's kind of interesting to see. So, I love that, you know, Paul Bissonnette, who's, you know, whoever wants, like, he's at the side. I know some people really love the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. Some people really don't like it. I'll be honest, I just don't have time to listen to it. So I've heard different things. Bissonnette's the one that I like out of that group. So, but he's always really good. I think they have a really good panel going. They do it right. Like, I'm not a basketball guy, but they do really well with the NBA one. They have, like, you know, Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, all those guys. So they do a really good job of finding the right guys. Yes. So anyway, the second period rolls around and another Blue gets his first goal of the season. So Brandon Saad gets his first off from Perron O'Reilly, kind of a rebound play, and they beat, and he goes top shelf. He just jumped on the ice and goes top shelf on Robin Lehner. So, really, really great back and forth game. I'll say that.
Phenomenal
game. I mean, definitely, like you talked about, and we won't get, because it, what you can say about every game compared to last year, where the team seemed very slow and plodding, and they just were kind of like, to seem like they're skating in mud a lot of times. Mm-hmm. They came out and were always pushing it and going, you know, moving faster. And it's like, not even a different team. The up-tempo play has been a welcome sight for, yes, Blues fans.
Oh, yes.
And for one thing, welcome sight, Blues fans, Vladimir Tarasenko playing well. And credit to Paul Bissonnette for calling this, because they asked who is going to score the difference maker goal. All of them did pick St. Louis, which I thought was interesting.
I was going to bring that up. I was going to wait until we talked about the second period. But again, the TNT desk, nobody picked Vegas to win this game after two. I think three of the people picked Perron to score, including Gretzky. And Bissonnette said it's Vladimir Tarasenko is going to score this goal.
Yeah, Tarasenko looked great this game. And this is and not saying it looked great the first two games. I think he was doing a lot of playing on both ends of the ice in the Colorado game. I thought he was okay in the Arizona game. I think a lot of people stepped up. So I think I just didn't notice him, but that's not a bad thing. But this game, he was all over the ice and taking shots, and you just knew it was kind of coming. Like, he felt like the momentum coming. And this play started off with Braden Schenn behind the net, hits Pietrangelo as the puck is getting broken out of the zone. After he hits Pietrangelo grabs Shen's stick and throws it. And Schenn has to go grab it and come back. And that wound up costing Pietrangelo, because Pietrangelo gets caught up at center ice, throws the puck to the middle of the ice, and no one's there. Picked up very quickly, moved along, and a quick play. Who just gets back onside. Schenn, Kyrou, and Tarasenko have basically 3-on-0, and Tarasenko gets his first of the year from Kyrou and Schenn. Pietrangelo is pissed. I really want to know what Schenn said to Pietrangelo, because that's just not like Pietrangelo to go after him. So I think and Tarasenko obviously jumped in real quick and grabbed Pietrangelo. So 2-1 Blues, and Barbashev finishes it off from Thomas and Preko for the empty net goal. So the Blues sweep their beginning road trip 3-0. So not bad going into your home opener against the Kings.
Jason, realistically, looking at the schedule and seeing that this team started with 3 on the road, 2 of them against Colorado and Vegas, what did you think the Blues' record would be coming home for the home opener?
I said if they can go 1-1-1, they'd be happy. I think they'd be good. I think that was like you basically win in Arizona, because Arizona, as much as we've had trouble with them in the past, they've stripped their team down so bad. You should beat them. I figured you lose one against either Vegas, or obviously Vegas was missing guys too. Vegas was missing Pacioretty and Stone. So, and then obviously the Martinez got hurt during the game. So, I mean, yeah, they're hurt. They're missing guys too. But the point of the matter is, they're still a good team. Any team can beat any team any night. I thought 1-1-1 would have been solid after this road trip, and they wound up going 3-0.
Yeah, I was hoping for a 1-1-1. I really thought we were going to be coming home at best 1-2. Part of that was due to the unknown of what this team was going to look like on the ice. Part of it due to the fact that Colorado and Vegas are damn good teams. So I think that it is really worth taking a minute and looking at the fact that this is a St. Louis Blues team that was a giant question mark all through the summer. And this is a team now that starts the season with a win in Colorado and in Vegas, not home wins against them, on the road wins. That is huge. Those are four massive points. And not taking anything against away from the Arizona win, but like you said, Arizona is an NHL team in name only at this point. Vegas and Colorado, dude, those are quality wins. And those are the type of wins in October that you look back on in March and April and go, thank God we have those points.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's nice to pile these up, because in case you're missing players later on and you're not at full strength, you can have those points to kind of lay back on, which Blues might find out in the next 10 days. So they obviously get to go home against they basically play a pair of games against the Kings. There we go. So obviously their NHL is still kind of trying to do the scheduling where the team sticks around for a couple of games just because of traveling, obviously West Coast games and whatnot. So Blues start off with much pop and circumstance. Obviously the Blues do all the introductions and stuff. Tarasenko gets a nice round of applause for everybody, which I didn't think there'd be anything bad about that, but it was very loud. So first starts off, the Blues once again don't score first. So Alex Iafallo gets the first, kind of a turnover in the Blues, and he just kind of turns around, takes a shot in the slot, and beats Binnington short side to make 1-0 about the 11 minute mark. But luckily the Blues get a power play a little bit later on, and David Perron is continuing his play, this incredible play at a later stage of his career. So his third of the year from Krug and Tarasenko on the power play. The next one is Blues take a penalty, and Ivan Barbashev picks up the puck off an errant pass, and a nice little backhand beats Cal Peterson for the shorthanded goal at the 18:47 mark. So the Blues get the lead late in the first period.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then this is where things get fun for the Blues. So Blues get a deflection goal from David Perron after a shot from Torrey Krug. And Clem Costin gets his first assist as well, about the minute mark of the second. Jake Neighbors off a great play by Braden Schenn. The Blues kept this puck in the zone for almost 48 seconds is what it said.
That's incredible.
And Schenn just was cycling it. There's a quick change. Neighbors hops on the ice and it was not picked up. And he gets his first NHL goal. So pretty cool for being 19 years old and getting his first NHL goal from Schenn, who he's living with right now, too, on top of that. So basically his roommate gets him his first goal. And also Kyle Clifford is in this game because obviously Buchnevitz is serving the second game of his 2-game suspension for headbutting. So he got the repeat offender status there from a cross check from last season. So he gets 2 games instead of, I thought, hoping for 1, but he got 2. So
it's all right.
So O'Reilly gets the really nice passing play between Schenn and Perron. O'Reilly gets a nice pass from Schenn in the slot for his second. Schenn and Perron power play at about halfway through the second, 5-1, looking great for the Blues. James Neal's back in. James Neal, the real deal Neal. 6-1, just a little tip-in goal, a nice pass from Robert Thomas to Neal. Mm-hmm. Then the Blues once again did this thing where they decided to take it off their foot off the gas. 6-1 lead. I get it. It's easy to do. Dustin Brown gets a goal at 1:33. Carl Grundstrom gets a goal about the 6-minute mark. And then Berube lays into the team and just says, like, there's still enough time. I couldn't read his lips all the way, but it's basically saying there's a lot of time left and a lot of F words after that, basically, from what I could tell.
So, he's not wrong.
Yeah, so, and that's correct. And then about 6 minutes after that, David Perron caps off the hat trick, his fifth of the year from Tarasenko and Krug. So Krug up to 4 assists already on the year, and Tarasenko with his 3rd. So Perron, Krug, and Neighbors are your 3 stars. Great night for the Blues. Once again, another person contributing. So tonight you say Perron was the difference maker there. I think Shen played really well with a lot of assists there. So go ahead.
I agree.
Okay. Last game, the go over. So game that me and you got to attend. You so did. Once again, playing the Kings. So we and you were at least a little disappointed that we didn't want to see Binnington and Netso. Billy Huso gets his first start of the season. Me and you made the joke. What was the joke we made?
Just get through the first 3 shots, we're okay.
Yeah, and technically correct. Probably one of the – I mean, you can say last year, the last game of the year was really well for him, but might be his best game as a pro, honestly, or at least one of the first, like, one or two, maybe top three games he's had. He played so well in the first – basically the whole game, but the first 2 periods when the Blues dominated the first period, plain and simple. The Blues had 10 shots before – the Kings even won. Yeah. And they just dominated. Jonathan Quick's in this game, and Quick played really well to hold them in. So it was definitely a goalie battle the first 2 periods. The second period obviously was more the Kings, and they kind of tilted the ice a little bit. I just want to talk about one thing that happened during the second period. So Berube made an adjustment, and me and you always kind of gave Berube crap throughout the last couple years of him not really doing that, just sticking with the same formula and going with it, and hopefully it'll happen and see what happens. And no, it just didn't really work out. And then this year he stopped. He basically shortened his bench down to 3 lines, told the 2 young kids, Costin and Neighbors, basically sat on the bench, only had 2 shifts in the 3 shifts combined between the 2 in the second and third period. So Costin had a couple penalties too, which didn't really help his cause. I think nothing against Neighbors. I think they just wanted the veterans out there, and that's when you saw things start getting going in third period. And that's when this happened. So Vladimir Tarasenko, another highlight reel goal. So me and you, we were at the other end of the ice, and you kind of see it develop. And it was – I still think the Rangers goal was my favorite.
For sure.
But it's up there with the Kyle Quincy goal in his first game of the as a NHLer, where he walked Kyle Quincy again when he was on the Red Wings. It's pretty darn close to that, because he basically walked 2, almost 3 guys and beat Jonathan Quick top shelf.
To me, it is a quintessential Vladimir Tarasenko goal. He drops his shoulder. He gets around the one defender, keeping him on his shoulder, keeping his body between the puck and the defenseman, and then waits out and flips the puck high over Quick. It's the goal that we've seen Tarasenko score a million times coming down that right wing, where he just ducks the shoulder, gets on the inside of the defender, and rides him straight to the goal.
Yeah, and it's not really much you can say there. It was just a great goal overall. And the Blues didn't lay back, but also had some little sketchy moments, and Ville Husso played tremendously as a power play against and then a power play for. But then the Blues were able to have a breakout play where Vladimir Tarasenko gets the breakaway, his second breakaway of the game, mind you, and just goes along the ice and scores against Jonathan Quick to make it 2-0. And then luckily the Blues quickly make it 3-0 after they pull the goalie. So there was really no drama at the end there. So Perron was able to get that from O'Reilly and Scandella. So Barbashev is doing really, really well on that third line left winger right now. The Thomas Tarasenko Barbashev line is working out very well for a quote unquote third line. It's going to get more action now. So Husso obviously gets the shutout. So he has a shutout streak. So you remember he had the shutout of the last regular season game last year and a shutout this season. So
yep,
so pretty cool for him to have a little shutout streak, and he played really well. So Tarasenko, after the game, it's much talked about. The fans were chanting Vladdy, Vladdy, Vladdy. He was very, you know, like obviously you can tell he was, you know, very, you know, taken aback by that and very happy and obviously very focused on the win, mostly, and saying it's a team game, not just a one person game, which is nice to hear. But supposedly this doesn't change anything. He is still wanting out. He's still, you know, it sucks to see, but like you talked about in the offseason, go out and play your ass off, mm-hmm. and then teams are going to start calling on you.
You better believe it. You better believe it.
So the question is, I think, unfortunately, now with this thing that happened next, I think that trade might get held off a little bit. Obviously, depending on the return. If somebody, right. and this is not going to, mind you, this is not going to happen. Let's say Edmonton calls and said, hey, we'll give you Leon Draisaitl for Tarasenko.
Sure.
Yeah, the Blues are going to say, oh, hell yeah, or there's an obvious trade to make. They're not just going to make a trade just because he wants it now and he's doing well. I think more teams are going to call, and I think the offers are going to get better, to say the least. But
yes.
But the trade has not been rescinded. The next day, that was reported by numerous people, unfortunately. You know, so unfortunately, that's still the case. Who knows? As the season goes on, that could change. So we'll see. The bad news now, Blues start off 5-0. The team record of 5 wins to start the year that has never happened before. So that's really awesome to see. Blues fans are riding high. And the next day, we find out Ryan O'Reilly is on the COVID list.
Yep.
So Brandon Saad was on it for this game. So unfortunately, he was unavailable. And according to what I was read today, he should be back soon. So Saad was out last game, so he didn't get to make it. You know, so obviously the Blues are shorthanded. They had their own shorthandedness the whole time. We talked about how Vegas was shorthanded. But remember, the Blues lost Saad and Buchnevich for the home opener, technically.
Right, right.
You know, so they didn't have those guys. And then now they don't – Saad is out, but O'Reilly's out. O'Reilly is out for 10 days. If you look at the NHL rules about COVID, the only way you can be out for 10 days is if you test positive and are showing symptoms. So he must have some kind of symptom of COVID that caused him to be away from the team for 10 days. Saad, it sounds like he was asymptomatic at best, because he can be back any day now, which means it's 2 consecutive tests that 24 hours apart. If they're negative, you can come back to the team. So both O'Reilly and Saad are vaccinated. So obviously that it happens. So the Blues will have to make do without Ryan O'Reilly for 10 days. Now he'll miss about a total of 5 games.
Ugh.
So which stinks. So
it does. But again, as we've talked about early on in this season, this is a team that has a next man up mentality. There's no superstar. Now, to that degree, of the starters we have, O'Reilly's pretty high up there in the pecking order. So it's not like you can just plug anyone in. But what we're going to need is for people to shift up, for Robert Thomas to shift up, for David Perron to shift up, you know, for all of these guys to jump one line where needed and backfill from there. They can do it. You know, they 100% can do it. As we've seen these first 5 games, this isn't a 1 or 2 man show offensively. Everybody's kicking in. Everybody. So you put one guy in. It looks like Dakota Joshua is getting the call up to fill in for O'Reilly. So you plug him in where he fits, and let's go.
Yep. So Joshua is all the guy that we liked in the offseason too. We thought would be on his team, but obviously with the depth that happened, you know, so it's good to have some guys like that can fill on a fourth line, and you have guys who are on the fourth line and come up. Sundquist is working his way back, hopefully back soon. But he's at least skating, so that's a good thing. So O'Reilly missed a total of 4 games. He'll miss the Colorado and Chicago game to wrap up the homestand, and then he'll miss the Kings and San Jose in the first week of November. So he'll be eligible to come back if they consider that. Let's see, they consider that Tuesday, the day that he went on COVID.
Yep.
So if they consider that, it should be Friday, November 5th. He should be eligible to come back, which that means he could fly out to Anaheim and make the Anaheim game Sunday the 7th, if that's the way things are calculated. Either way, I think he should be eligible for the Anaheim game. I don't know why they would hold him out for 2 more games just till they get home, but
I agree.
It makes sense when they come back. So obviously that's the bad news there. The Blues play Colorado again, who will have McKinnon and Landeskogan. So that'll be an interesting game. Chicago, which we're going to talk about them in a second here, and then the other 2 games. So big NHL news today. And unfortunately, like, we like to have fun on the show, but I think this is is definitely a huge story and a very serious subject, to say the least. Mm-hmm. So to get into, there's a lot of layers to the story as well. And I'll try to do my best to find everything. So in 2010, there was a video coach named Brad Aldrich, or Brian Aldrich, excuse me. That was the video coach for the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago Blackhawks were in the middle of their cup run in San Jose for the conference finals. And supposedly some inappropriate things happened, to say the least. He basically, one of the guys on the team who was a black ace, one of the guys called from the minors just to kind of help fill role and kind of, you know, get some reps in and be with the team as they run to the cup. This inappropriate proposition and some basically threatening in a position of power by this Aldrich guy. So the obviously inappropriate stuff happened to winds up. Unfortunately, we know the guy's name now because this report that came out, I kind of outed him on a report. So Kyle Beach is who it winds up being. He did an interview tonight. We're recording on the 27th on TSN. So we'll have that on that interview will be on all our socials. So probably everywhere, but just please check it out. So it's from what I've read, very good. I haven't got a chance to check it out yet since we're recording. So let's see. Oh, and then after this happened, this was reported by, this happened to not only Kyle Beach, but another unknown player. And this was reported to all the higher ups, and it worked its way up to top management. And there was a meeting of Stan Bowman, who was the GM at the time, the team president, Kevin Cheveldayoff, who was the assistant director of hockey ops, and also coach Joel Quenneville. And according to his report, they all ignored it. And that's pretty shameful. And that's being the extremely polite way of putting it. A guy that I coach in person, hockey person, I really liked. And I think our friend Jeff Ponder put the most, somebody I really respected and thought was one of the best ever. And I have lost all respect for Joel Quenneville. I remember we talked about on this show how we wanted him on this. Basically said, let's not bring this up to the team because I don't want this to be a distraction because I don't know if the team can get this far again.
Remember, it came out in this report that the team found out about this hours after winning the Western Conference Final in San Jose. There was a meeting between Quenneville, Bowman. Was Wirtz in there?
I believe so.
Okay. And then I think everything. One or two more.
Yeah.
Essentially, the top brass of the Blackhawks. And they were told what had happened. And the Chicago Blackhawks official stance was it's more important to win the Stanley Cup right now than it is to do what's right.
Which is shameful. And
it is. Look. Let's just put all the cards on the table and be honest. You and I have both played team sports. We've both played competitive team sports. We know how incredibly hard it is to get to the apex of whatever sport you're playing. I understand the initial thought of, guys, we're so close. We just won the West. Let's just get through the Stanley Cup final. I understand that initial thought hours after getting off the ice. However, even if that was said, at some point over the course of that night, the flight home, or the days that followed, your conscience has to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that what you're dealing with here transcends sport, transcends your job. You're dealing with, let's just be honest, criminal allegations and criminal actions. And you're dealing with something that can have long-term repercussions to the people involved, be it the victims.
Mm-hmm.
Or victim in this point. I don't remember how many people.
There was two. Yeah.
And
we'll talk about the hockey culture thing after your thought. I'll let you finish then.
to minimize that, number one, if I'm the player who brought this to my team, I feel completely alienated and that my voice doesn't matter. That my physical and mental health don't matter to this team, my employer, at all. And I don't know if I would mentally be able to suit back up for that team.
We'll talk about that in a second. Go ahead, though.
But I'm not advocating it by any means. Please don't think I'm advocating this. I understand why that decision was made. It was the wrong decision. But like I said, I can understand why in the heat of the moment, coming off of just winning the Western Conference Finals, that decision in that room was made. Why no one who was in that meeting in the days that followed didn't come back around and go, guys, this ain't right. Like, I get where we're at. I understand we're trying to win a Stanley Cup for the first time in, what, 30 years at the time? But we're making the wrong decision. We are not doing what's right by our team, our players, our fans, the law.
Everything. Yeah.
To me, that's what's even more shameful than the initial decision.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to on top of that. So obviously the team's put forth, so decision was made to not bring it up at all. So basically the thing that happened is obviously the Hawks win the cup.
Yep.
The guy gets to celebrate with the team. His name's on the cup. And he gets to celebrate with the players that he abused.
Yeah.
And he also got a day with the cup and everything. Imagine, like, there's players. Look, for example, I'll say this because this article was literally days ago. Like, David Backus has an article talking about, like, what you have to do to win a cup. And he's talking this really great article on The Athletic about you have to make yourself vulnerable and you have to be willing to, like, you know, like leave your heart out there and make yourself vulnerable. And also it was a really great article and really great interview. And imagine like you're a player and you never got to that point and you've been put in so many years and this asshole gets a day with the cup. Yeah. And then on top, the thing that makes it even matter about everything is what happened in later years is,
oh, for sure.
Is that
for sure?
There's two things.
I know where we're going, and it's what you're going to say is the reason why everyone associated with this should be banned from the NHL and any type of sports involving other people, especially kids, for life. Done. Excommunicated.
So not only after the season, it was decided that the ownership, obviously still knew about the allegations, brought in this Aldrich to talk about in the offseason and said, you need to quit or resign. Mm-hmm. So he resigned and went on to get a job at a high school. And the reason he got the job, according to, there's a lot of great articles. Mind you, go out there and look at it for Katie Strang. And let me look up the other guy who did all this work. There's two guy people who did a ton of work on this, and I will get their name right before I do it. The Blackhawks wrote him a recommendation letter that helped him get the job. And that's the thing that pisses me off so bad, because you knew about this and Quenneville knew about that. And he was the one who basically flat out said, he's a great character. And he's a Stanley Cup champion. Flat out said and that's what makes me so mad. And then on top of that, why am I mad about that? Because the guy went on to abuse a teenager after that and got caught, and he's in jail right now. So that's what happened. So basically the Blackhawks enabled somebody to continue a cycle of abusing people.
This is very similar to the Jerry Sandusky thing to me.
Yeah. Real quick, it's Rick Westhead. Please go follow Rick Westhead and Katie Strang on Twitter.
Yeah.
Rick Westhead is the one who wrote, and along with Katie Strang, did all this legwork for a very long time on this and kept this relevant when the NHL would not recognize this was going on. And remember, the Blackhawks flat out said during the summertime, we've concluded our investigation and we found all these things to be meritless. These claims are meritless. And then you read this 107 page thing and it makes me so upset that you call it all this meritless and you basically ruined Kyle Beach's life.
They knew.
And they knew.
100% knew. You think Penn State didn't know that for decades they had an assistant coach who had a summer camp and was fondling little kids? They knew. Joe Paterno knew. This is the problem when you have, be it professionals or big-time college schools, which might as well be professionals because the people involved, not the players in college, but the coaches, are making millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. As much as it's about winning and doing what's right, power corrupts. And the last thing someone who has a job making that much money wants to do is lose that job. And they could have done the right thing on so many different occasions. But once you get to that point where you've decided as a entity, in this case, the Chicago Blackhawks, that you're going to let this man step down and save his dignity and double down on that and write him a letter of recommendation to be around children and minors, you have no choice but to ride that lie as far as it goes. And I have no sympathy or empathy for anyone who's been caught up in this and lost their job. Stan Bowman was mythical status, not just in the Chicago Blackhawks organization. He was the GM of USA Hockey. His reputation, rightfully so, is going to be forever tarnished in this because at the end of the day, the buck stops with him. He was making all the decisions. He could have overridden anyone at any time and said, fellas, this ain't right. But it was more important to win that cup and not disrupt that locker room and then just let him go. We don't want the scandal even after the fact. We're riding high. We're the champs. Just tell him he has to leave. You hid a sex offender and then you helped disguise him and get him another job where he could continue his abuse. That's criminal. And I have no sympathy for him at all. And I don't know if you read the letter that he put out today.
Oh, it passes the buck.
Oh, like, for sure. Well, it was my first year and I thought that my superiors would do the right thing and they didn't. And had, you know, looking back on it, I shouldn't have taken for granted that my superiors, shut up. You were paid to do a job. You failed at one part of your job, which is to keep people safe.
Yeah. And I don't care how old they are. And it's not like I don't care if they're considered grown men or whatever, when something like that happens. And obviously, mind you, this Brad Aldrich also said, if he basically just put it down, like he went down on the dude and said, if you don't let me go down on you, like I'm going to ruin your career. Yeah. Imagine being a 20-year-old guy working your way up in an organization that's on a rise. Mind you, Chicago Blackhawks at the time were an organization on the rise.
And your name's not Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews.
Yeah. Or Corey Crawford or Duncan Keith or any of those guys, you know, at the time.
So you're a guy fighting for your role on this team.
Exactly. And just awful. So, a little bit more came out like this evening. So I just want to bring this up, which makes it doesn't make it any better or any worse. It makes it a lot worse on numerous fronts. So the Wirtz came out and said, like, we are going to work on settling with both players and also the Michigan high school player that was abused, because obviously you didn't stop the guy and he continued. So The Blackhawks decided today, after all this came out, to file motions to dismiss the lawsuits.
Of course they did.
They say it's procedural and that they're working towards settlements. They have a meeting scheduled next week to settle with everyone. Believe what you like at this point, honestly. Yeah.
That kid should have therapy paid for life by the Chicago Blackhawks. Whether he needs it or not, it should be made readily available to him. He should have, I don't know how old he is now, he should have his college paid for by the Chicago Blackhawks. And that's just the tip. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I don't think you could put enough zeros behind a check to cover the emotional damage and things like that that I'm sure he went through. But at the very least, that kid's education and that kid's therapy should be taken care of by the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yep. So two more things I want to bring up before we kind of start to wrap this up. So the NHL came out today and fined the Blackhawks. You think it'd be a good amount of money, right? As Chris holds up $2 million. That's all they got. So mind you, do you know the New Jersey Devils got a harsher penalty for signing an illegal contract to Ilya Kovalchuk?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I laughed when I heard what they fined the Blackhawks. I laughed.
And they said $1 million of it goes to help, like, you know, obviously people who were sexually abused and organizations that help with that. $2 million to a franchise that's worth over $1 billion. One of the top franchises in the NHL.
Yeah.
This is going to forever damage that organization. I don't care.
I agree.
People are saying like that 2010 team. No, this should follow them around for as long as any of those players that were on a 2010 team are on this team. I believe the coach
and the players knew.
Let's talk about that. I think they did because one of the things that came up. So mind you, Kyle Beach is still with the organization in 2014. This is 2010. So 4 years later, he's still with the team. And I'm pretty sure he's probably dealt with some rumors about what happened and stuff. To the point where, I don't know if you saw this, that in the report that apparently during training camp in 2014, a player on the actual Blackhawks team, not a, like a minor league guy, an actual player was following Beach around the ice, yelling at him, calling him I'm reading the language here and calling him a faggot and said, hey, did you like that BJ that guy gave you?
Followed
him around the ice and said that to him. So, like I said, that's on the report. So, I'm just letting everybody know.
Quinville is still coach, right?
Correct.
Yeah. See, that dude should have been thrown off the ice immediately. Strike
and,
two.
So, that player was not been named. I have my suspicions who that is. If we remember what happened in I don't know. Remember what happened in 2016 against the Blues? Remember that?
Oh.
Or was that 2014? Someone got a little pissed off in the penalty box, said some slurs.
Yep.
The exact slur that was just used.
Truth.
I don't know. You guys can put that together. So that's why I think it is, but that's, I'm not going to say it. So it rhymes with Clandrew. Clandrew Clause. Let's say that.
His name is not Andrew Shaw.
Yeah, that sounds better. That sounds better. But yeah, so yeah, that's my guess. I mean, based on what we saw in the Blues series that 1 year.
Yeah, you're right. And that fits that dude's attitude too.
Yeah, hockey culture is not a great thing sometimes. And obviously that was something that that sucks, man. Because that happen to you and then your teammates are ripping on you for being abused. Like, that's pretty shitty. Like, I mean, that's an awful human being. Like I, whoever that is, I don't care if it is Patrick Kane or Andrew Shaw, if it winds up being some guy that was a PTO that year.
Yeah.
I don't care. That is unacceptable. And that guy should have been kicked out of the practice. He should have been released from his contract. Then I don't care who it is. Yeah. That is unacceptable. I don't care. Like, that's not razzing. That's not like giving guys crap. That's not me razzing Pat Maroon when we're playing floor hockey.
Right.
That's,
no, you're right. You're right.
That's ridiculous.
You're 100% correct. I'm going to say that this is not just hockey culture. This is sports culture. I mean, look, the NFL is going through it right now with everything that happened with John Gruden and the emails when he was in Washington and all that, and using the exact same words to describe gay players and things like that. I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never used those words in a context when I shouldn't have, because of course I had. You're young and you're stupid and you're not thinking about what you're saying. It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's just a reality. And it is part of the sports culture, and it's something that needs to change. Unfortunately, it seems like athletes don't realize that until they get out of that culture and see what the real world is like. There's no excuse for it. You know, dude, when we played floor hockey, that was what, 8 years ago at this point?
Yeah, I think, give it or take, 5-6 years ago, probably, sure. Honestly. Whatever. And one of you, that's in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
At a YMCA or whatever we're at, whatever.
Boys, oh, girls. Salvation Army.
Salvation gym. Army gym on a random Tuesday night.
One of the first rules of the league was that any swearing or hate speech of any kind was an automatic expulsion, not suspension, expulsion from the league. There was a dude on one of the teams. Every single game was calling people any number of ethnic slurs or sexual orientation slurs or whatever. Every game. That dude played 3 nights a week. And when I brought it up to the owner of or commissioner, whatever you want to call him, of said league, and said, hey, man, we have a problem. Not only is this guy and his entire team pretty much a bunch of a-holes, this guy is running around calling a guy on my team an ethnic slur every shift. There are guys on other teams who I've heard, and they've complained about him calling them gay slurs and ethnic slurs. Your bylaws say that he should be out of the league, done. Not out for a week, not out for a season, out forever. Don't come back. Why is he still here?
Because he plays 3 times a week and pays you money.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And that's pretty much what he told us as well.
And it's exactly what he told me. And that was the day I realized this is my last season.
Yep, and I think we were quickly out after that. I think the next season we were gone. So it's like, fine, we're done. We're done with this.
And this guy himself was part black,
at least. I think so.
There was some ethnicity other than honky in him,
because he yelled that quite a bit at us, I remember. So it was interesting. But the point is, it's a cultural thing, which,
and it's gotta stop.
And that's why a lot of players don't see it. And honestly, you don't see a lot of players that are openly gay. That's just not
NFL this year has their first openly gay player.
Yep. And that took remember how big of a deal it was? And that's part of the John Gruden thing when Michael Sam got drafted, first openly gay player drafted. And then he was a 7th round or whatever, but he still was a good player. I mean, obviously, he was a pretty good player from Mizzou back in the day. So it's something that, getting back to the Blackhawks, I'm glad that it's the two reporters, Rick Westhead and Katie Strang, stuck with it.
I am too.
And it never got buried. The NHL is talking to Joel Quenneville tomorrow. I'm kind of not really thrilled that he got a coach tonight. I think they should have put on administrative leave and then talk to him tomorrow. Same with Kevin Sheveldayoff and in Winnipeg. He's getting talked to on Monday. I don't think both of those guys should have jobs either. I don't care if they're a different organization.
That doesn't matter.
If I was Florida, I would look at it and be like, I get it. Florida is darn close to the same situation that Chicago might have been back then. Up and coming team, have a chance to make some noise this year. Because this deep, and he literally, and the thing that pisses me off even more, Chris, Joel Quenneville in his press conference today, is he said, I don't want to have a team. I'll talk with Bettman tomorrow, but I just don't want to make any distractions for the team. How fitting was that he said that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same language he used
mm-hmm.
in that group circle in 2010.
I'm telling you.
People were sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. This dude literally just said the same goddamn thing.
Very different circumstances in this case.
But
I get it. The irony is not lost.
Oh, yeah. That's the killer. It's a hard situation to talk about, but I'm glad that Kyle Beach came out and had and decided to cooperate. There's 139 people that were interviewed, and let's not forget there's 37 people who refused to cooperate and didn't want to be interviewed for this thing. So there's guys covering it up, plain and simple. Maybe not all 37 of those guys, maybe somewhere like guys that just weren't there. I don't know, but you got to think out of the 37, there's probably some guys that knew what happened and didn't want to say anything.
Well, clearly if he was being chased around the ice and asked about it.
Yep. People knew. I mean, 2014 is 4 years after it happened. So I just want to say this at the end, just to wrap this up, and just something I'll put out there on the socials as well. There's an organization called RAIN out there, which is Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. So if you are, have been sexually assaulted and feel like you can't talk to somebody, they have a chat. They have on their website, it's RAINN.org. They have a chat there, and also their phone number is 1-800-656-HOPE. So it's 24/7, free and confidential. So if you feel like you need to talk to somebody, please give them a call. That's the RAIN organization. So I just wanted to put that at the end, since we were talking a very serious subject.
And if I can add to that, even if you personally are not the victim,
or you know
someone who's been the victim, speak up. There's a lot of shame that victims feel.
And that's exactly what Kyle Beach said.
And if you're lucky enough to be trusted with someone to tell you that, they may be looking for you to help save them and for you to be their voice because they're scared to. Encourage them to speak up. And if they don't want to, there's ways to out that person without exposing the victim.
Yep. Yeah, I know today was with that report, it kind of happened, and with Kyle Beach, and he kind of felt he had to. But I mean, I don't, he didn't even have to. People could have just been whispers online and just always said it was him. And then nobody ever, obviously no news organization is going to out. If they do, that's a huge lawsuit.
Yeah.
But he could have kept silent as well, but he decided to come forward. He said he felt vindicated. So
good for him.
I'm glad that somebody got, so hopefully justice. And I don't know if you can get closure on something like this, but hopefully a step in the right direction for him and reconciling what happened to him. So
sure.
I know, very serious subject there. We talk about, like I said, we usually have fun on here, but I thought that was very important to have.
It is very important.
So, we'll wrap it up there and, get to it, the socials. So if you want to get hold of us on Twitter, it's at Blues Hockey NHL.
I'm at Hossapalooza.
If you want to find us on Facebook and Twitter, it's a look up Blues Hockey Podcast. Also, our website is blueshockeypodcast.net or .com. On there, you can find a ton of stuff. You can find where you can download the podcast, which is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible, Pocket Cast, all the other good, anywhere you can find your podcast, go ahead and do it. Remember to rate and review us as well on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can rate and review us, really. Let's see. On the website, you have the merchandise tab. We have some merch up there. Working on getting some stuff, some little cool stuff, I think. I think we're going to work on some koozies. I think, Chris, you have one of those.
I do.
So we're going to work on getting those up on the website sold, or at least get them on the socials for people to see if they would like them. They're pretty cool. So next thing is our sponsors. So first off, we'll talk about Rockstar Taco. First off, Rockstar Taco at the Gaslight. So we had fun on Saturday, and their official opening is coming up really soon. So 4916 Shaw, check them out on Facebook, and that's where they're gonna start posting all their specials when they get up and running here. Every Tuesday night, which we just found out. Let's say a Tuesday night. What's the Tuesday? Music trivia. So
I'm game for that. I'm in on that.
So music trivia is all. Yeah, we used to do that a ton back in the day, and we were pretty halfway decent at it, I think. I have my usual. What's mine is the random song / hip hop song.
If there's some garbage ass early 2000s, late 90s hip hop song, Jason's going to pull it out of his ass.
That's correct. I'm really good at that somehow, as evidenced by my Spotify playlist I showed Chris on Saturday. So
indeed.
Yeah. So go ahead and check Gaslight. Rockstar Taco Gaslight. It's late. I haven't had much sleep. And let's see what we got next here. So Lucky Lolas, check them out on Instagram and Facebook. You can find all of their stuff at not only their website, but also Kenrick's. And Fresh Time has their jalapeno sweet heat and their brats and a bunch of stuff. So go ahead and check those out. Also, Schnucks has a bunch of their stuff as well, except for the brats. Those are just Fresh Time and Kenrick's. So last but not least, DraftKings. DraftKings, use the code THPN today to get your bonus when you sign up today. And you, with NHL kicking into gear, you have NBA kicking into gear. You have the, now I believe it's the Braves and Astros in the World Series. Game two is tonight. Braves won last night. So maybe you want to bet on the game. Go ahead and use the code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings today to get a bonus using the code THEHOCKEYPODCAST. So that'll about do it for us this week. Blues got some games coming up, minus Ryan O'Reilly. We'll see how they can do. I don't know. So kind of interesting. Like I said, kind of a tale of two shows this week. So some positive stuff for the Blues and then some very serious stuff that happened around the NHL. So thanks for everybody for listening. I hope everybody really got something out of this episode, and we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.